in an ideal transformer, you must have a voltage coefficient of 1. Otherwise, yes. So what you're saying is true.
So if I stick with your original argument that I'm using ideal materials, the only way the power in the primary can drop when I'm keeping the voltage constant and the current is going down, but I'm getting some amount of power out of the secondary, which is decreasing as I create greater and greater magnetic separation. The magnetic field lack of coupling between primary and secondary is not a power loss coefficient. It doesn't change efficiency. Magnetic field...
But it does, Dick.
If the magnetic field is becoming inefficient, where's the extra power going?
You just said if we're perfectly ideal situation, there are no losses. So in that particular case, you can't have losses when you define that you have no losses. But the minute you start breaking the magnetic or the voltage coupling between the two windings, then the power will be lost in the primary winding.
If the primary winding has no resistance, what's the mechanism of loss in the primary winding?
You're back to the same enigma again. In other words, it's an ideal transformer, so therefore you cannot have loss. So the ideal, the coupling voltage coefficient must be 1.
I don't agree. The primary is making a certain amount of magnetic field. A small amount of that magnetic field is coupled to the secondary, which is also made out of zero resistance winding. My voltage coefficient to the secondary is decreasing as the total amount of magnetic field across the secondary winding decreases. The power into the primary is becoming lower for two reasons. Current is going down, power factor is changing. If the secondary has a real load resistor, the primary sees that load resistor at first. As I increase the separation, the primary sees less and less of that secondary load resistor. The power going into the primary goes down because the power factor goes down. The phase angle of the current in the primary starts approaching 90 degrees. Therefore, there's no real energy being, no real power continuously being put into that primary as I increase that separation. The magnetic field, decreased coupling coefficient, is not eating up power. The magnetic field is not creating heat. The air in between the primary and the secondary is not getting hot. Over to you, Glenn.
Yeah, it sounds really good, Dick, but unfortunately it's really wrong. What happens is when you have a voltage coefficient, it is a resistance loss. So in other words, when you're talking about load resistance from primary winding to secondary winding, as you move windings apart, there is a resistance, and the resistance is in the winding. And the loss is primarily shared between the primary and the secondary winding, but the majority of loss is in the primary winding. So if you run the equation for voltage coefficient and you break it down, what you'll actually see is that the loss is in the resistance of the primary winding. As a matter of fact, when you start modeling transformers, what you'll realize immediately is there is a resistance in series with primary winding, there's resistance in series with the secondary winding. There's also an inductor in parallel. The model of a transformer is not that straightforward. When you say ideal, what happens is there's a lot of things that get really thrown out immediately. But when you start breaking voltage coupling by moving windings apart, the loss is primarily in the primary. KC2QIQ.
Let's go step by step here, Glenn. Assuming I'm winding a primary out of wire that has no resistance, it's superconducting wire. I'm making the secondary out of wire that's superconducting, no resistance. As I separate the primary winding from the secondary winding by moving the magnetic structures apart, I get a smaller and smaller voltage coupling coefficient into that secondary with a fixed load on the secondary. If the secondary energy power is decreasing because of the magnetic separation, an awful lot of the magnetic field of the primary is no longer linking the secondary. In that ideal, and nearly ideal, you and I could do this. You and I could use superconducting wire. I could separate these magnetic fields. I could get a lower and lower coupling coefficient. And you're telling me when I do that, there's an equivalent resistor plugged into the primary. I don't believe that. It's not a real resistor in the winding. The energy going into the primary will decrease. The energy coming out of the secondary is decreasing as I make more and more magnetic separation. Therefore, the power factor of the primary is going towards zero. the phase angle of current in the primary is approaching 90 degrees if I've got lossless iron. Over to you, Glenn, KQLIW.
Sounds very good, Dick, but unfortunately, again, it's really wrong. But I'm impressed about one thing. You've actually defined the superconductor. The magnetic lines of flux in a superconductor are perfectly aligned. As a matter of fact, that is one of the proofs of a superconductor, is that the magnetic coupling is perfect. It's the closest thing to the ideal transformer that you'll ever find. And there's one additional item that you have to add to superconductor and superconductor analysis, is that the mu, or the permeability, of a superconductor is zero. KC2, QIQ.
We might be saying the same thing, but I'm going to use slightly different words. If I establish a certain magnetic field in a coil of wire before it is superconducting, and it's a closed loop of wire, some number of turns, one turn, a zillion turns, doesn't matter. I've got a coil of wire, and I, by some means, establish a magnetic field in that coil. Now, while the magnetic field is present, I cryogenically cool the wire, it becomes superconducting. Once the wire is superconducting, whatever the magnetic field magnitude was inside of that coil of wire is now locked in place. I no longer have the ability to change the magnitude of the magnetic field in that coil of wire as long as that wire stays superconducting. You agree or disagree on that one, Glenn?
Absolutely.
So, you could say that the permeability has gone to zero. You could say the permeability inside the coil of wire has gone to infinity. There's at least two different ways you could look at
it. No, it's zero. It is zero, Dick.
Okay. If I've got zero permeability and air has a permeability of one, how do I get a magnetic field across the permeability of zero? There is a magnetic field present. I'm not able to change it. It's locked in place, but there's a real magnetic field there.
What the definition of a zero permeability, the same thing as a magnet. In other words, when you take the magnet's permeability is zero, and what you have is you basically have perfectly aligned electromagnetic lines of flux around each volt turn of that structure. That's exactly what that is, that definition.
I think I'm going to have to go along with that one. But the nice thing about some kinds of superconducting magnets is that I can now lock that magnetic field in place. That's what they're doing at CERN. That's what they're doing at our magnetic resonance imagers. You're locking a magnetic field, and as long as you keep that wire cryogenic, that magnetic field doesn't change one Weber, one Oersted, one Gauss, one anything. It doesn't change. And that at times is very handy as long as you're willing to maintain the cryogenic temperature. And that takes some heroic measures at times. My guess is you have to have a continuous supply of liquid helium in the vicinity of MRI machine, and if you ever run out of that liquid helium, you're in a fair amount of trouble. Is that true?
Right on.
And if you didn't go through a controlled quenching procedure, if you just allow the liquid helium to boil off of that doer, my guess is some bad things can happen.
Well, all that loss that we were talking about before that would wind up in those windings immediately winds up there.
It immediately, and then you laugh so loud I didn't hear the next word. Go ahead.
Well, remember what we were talking about. We said there's the voltage coupling coefficient. If you have the problem where all of a sudden you go from a perfectly aligned permeability of zero, all the magnetic field is in alignment, and the losses are zero, and you've got oodles and oodles of currents running through this thing, if all of a sudden you start losing that cryogenics at that one point in time, now the coupling coefficient of voltage now has just gone up. It just, you know, it dropped from one to a lower number, which means now that you have loss, huge losses, and that wire will just burn up instantly and go into a ball of flame. KC2, QIQ.
Yes, I can see that. As you take this cryogenic coil and slowly warm it up, Murphy's Law dictates that some little portion of the coil is going to lose superconductivity faster than some other portion. that little portion of the coil gets hot, gets a resistance. All of the 1,000 amperes flows through that section, and that section now lights up like a light bulb. Once that section lights up, burns up, and becomes an open circuit, now that collapsing magnetic field makes a huge voltage across that gap, and now you're going to arc over to everything nearby. All of those megajoules of magnetic energy that you had in that MRI magnet is now going to come flying back at you, and it's going to do an awful lot of damage. How in the world do they do a controlled quench? I'm beginning to think that whatever procedure they use to step-by-step put up more and more current into that coil and establish that magnetic field as they're cryogenically cooling it, I'm guessing they have to go through a step-down procedure in order to do a controlled quench. Is that true?
Well, this goes back to our earlier discussion. How do you get the power out of the circuit? Make the impedances high. By making the impedances high, the electromagnetic energy of voltage coupling drops. And once that power's down, then everything's going to run cold, whether it's cryogenically cooled or not. So the key thing is to have everything go to high impedance. KC2, QIQ.
Yeah, but you can't make the whole coil, which was 0.00 ohms to begin with, you can't make it suddenly go to infinity at every portion of the coil simultaneously. You don't have the resources to do that. I think you have to step down that magnetic field. In other words, as you start raising the temperature of a cryogenic coil, you start approaching the Curie temperature. At the Curie temperature, you can make steps in the magnetic field without killing it, if you know what I mean. You got that magnetic field in there in the first place by stepping it up one millijoule at a time. You have to step it back down if you want to do a controlled quench, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. You can definitely control electrical energy a lot faster than you can thermal. I mean, you have thermal inertia. You do have some time. So I mean, you can definitely step it down. So you know, and keep in mind too that most of your power is following square rules. So you know, by dropping voltages, you know, by half, you're dropping power by four times. So you know, there's a lot of things that you can do to step it down and much faster than the temperatures are going to be rising.
Now to do what I'm discussing, there's a couple of YouTube videos where a guy takes a cryogenic material, solid-state material. He puts a plastic bag around it, he dips it into liquid nitrogen, and he establishes a cryogenic magnet. He then pushes it with his hand near a neodymium magnet and forces a particular magnetic field into it because it's not a perfect superconductor. Once he forces it into a particular position, it will maintain that position in front of that magnet from then on. And then he can force it into another position. So in other words, the degree of superconductivity is finite. He's operating relatively close to the Curie temperature where he can step the magnetic field. It's not thoroughly locked in. And I think you're using a similar procedure when you step up or step down the magnetic field in an MRI machine. Does that sound reasonable, K2LIW?
You know, these things are, I think the only time that there's really problems is that if the systems are not being monitored properly. In other words, if you know what's going on, there's plenty of times to fix things. But if you aren't aware that things are coming out of cryogenics while things are under full load, I think that's really where the problem is, Dick. KC2QIQ. You got to excuse me here. I got to jump out of here for tonight. I do have to go to work tomorrow. I'm pretty sure you have to do the same. But we'll have to pick this up again next week or maybe sometime during the week, Dick. But have a good week, KC2QIQ.
Yeah, you said the exact same words that I was about to say. We're way beyond where I should have quit. And I'm going way beyond my... this was TechNet number 1386. Be kind to each other, you guys. We got to leave. This is crazy. 73, you all. Take your eyes. I'll be clear.
Good night, Dick. Good night, Glenn.
Good night.
Bernie, if you're in there, I heard you. I'll pick it up.
Well, I'm gone. Or John. Go ahead, Bernie. Roger, Dodger, and thank you for all your control tonight. Bye-bye for now.
Yeah, I'm coming in on UHF, as you probably know, so it worked well this way. But, boy, that machine was going whack tonight. Hey, Bertie. Absolutely. Lou, pick it up. Bird is still here.
Matt, are you copying me? All right. Dead late switch.
RC2N repeater controller B5.2846. Clock not set. Clock not set. Ready. Welcome to the W2VL repeater clock not. The time is 1:30 a.m. Monday, March 5, 2012.
K2YO Mobile. Sounds like it's working, Brain. KC2WGB. There we go. We're back to normal mode. When you talk to our little buddy tomorrow, tell him that the reason the machine didn't shut down at midnight is we were under manual control for most of the night. He probably noticed that we were moving and chips and stuff around the whole time.
Yep, understand. And thanks for the extra time. That was a very great, very good conversation we had. But well, I hope you had some luck. And like you say, take care of it.
Yep, yep. I just wish they'd come on in my time. Hey, it was good seeing you guys today. Glad you made the trip out. It's always a fun conversation. Alan had a good idea. We should set up a little, like, parlor off to the side and put out some chairs and drag the coffee guy over there.
Can't take scene, guys.
Yeah, look, the basic message for fighting Trump from the people is that you have a computer that's open 24 hours a day. Then the maintenance of whatever you're doing could not affect the technet in the way that, or the dead activity in the way that it would be just shut up at 12 o'clock. That was a major concern of the people that I spoke to. In other words, is you have plenty of time to do it if you want to do it, and just for the respect to the guy who wants to either choose to stay to 2 o'clock to, like he did today or not. Just don't do it, and to exist.
You guys pretty much have the exact same effective power as the repeater. You effectively destroyed each other, and nobody won. Good time. Wes, we talked about it today. It's a policy decision. It's above my pay grade. Nothing I can do about it.
Well, I understand it. I have no problem with you. I understand that. It's just a policy. It's just the one person who said, we're going to do it exactly at TechNet time, not in any other day. You know what I'm saying? Dick was saying to go home almost 2 o'clock, and it was his will and his wish. Let the guy choose. Don't shut up the guy. That's my major concern.
Yes, you're talking to the wrong people. I've told you exactly how to solve this. Wednesday night, there will be a board meeting. You go, you stand in front of the board, you tell them what you'd like to do. The reason the repeater's on all night, the other six nights of the week, is because I went in front of the board. I told them what I wanted to do. They gave me their concerns. I addressed their concerns and got it done. That's how you get things done in the club. So if you want it done, go to the board meeting. It's this Wednesday, 7:30, library in Levittown. If you come at about 6 or 5:30, you can even have dinner with everybody at the Fridays nearby.
Yeah, but you know, Wes, Dick explained it tonight. This was done at his request.
No, I understand it. This was done at his request to end the technet, not to shut the repeater. You got to understand that shutting the repeater wasn't a Dick decision or Dick request. That's the bottom line. And by the way, I have a pretty much fluent in English guys around there. Which is Lou, which is Bernie. You know, they're great guys. Couldn't they just relay that message and to exist?
What message?
John, I like you very much.
That's the point. I've got too many of my own messages I'm trying to deliver. You want your message delivered, deliver your own. Any further discussion about repeater operations that were done tonight, I'm not going to carry on.
I understand that. I do.
So, Wes, did you find anything cool? Yeah, you did find something cool at the MFest. What was that thing that you were carrying out? It looked like some kind of power meter.
Yes, I did. There was a 432A power meter from Hewlett-Packard. It's a beauty. And John has two, so at least I have one. I mean, I cannot compete. I mean, I have a really good lap, but I cannot compete with him and to exist.
Well, help me out a little bit. This is the dark cobbles or cobwebs in my mind. Power is watts?
Well, power could be joules, which is watt per second as well. You can have any kind of measure for the power.
So now, specifically, what does this measure? This measures RF power, electrical power. Help me out a little bit, because this is a part of my physics I haven't used in a long time.
Well, since I'm quite new to this particular device, I believe John would be able to give you full explanation, John.
Oh, absolutely. Bernie, it's like an RF field strength meter. If you put an antenna on it, you'd be able to read RF field. You can measure RF voltage in dB, and you could calibrate your generator attenuator with it. And, yeah, it's full-spectrum RF.
Gotcha. So this specific is looking for RF. It's not looking for volts and amps, that kind of thing. I wouldn't plug it into the wall or measure loads or that kind of thing with it. It's specifically looking for RF. Very cool.
You got it. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, by the way, guys, you cannot sleep tonight?
I'm just getting home. I've been out working.
I see. So what did you buy today?
I got some connectors, and I bought a new coax connector crimping tool. I've got one already, but it's the one I use for work, and I have to take it out of my work bag and change the jaws, and sometimes I forget to put it back, etc. So I got a stripper crimping tool, prep tool, specifically to dedicate towards working on putting crimp connectors on coax, all the way up to the big LMR 400 stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I could even volunteer to help you out with the connectors. Just one question, considering going to show Wednesday. I mean, do you think there is a chances to change anything? Because if it's not, that it's just a waste of time. And there is it.
Well, let me give you the strategy that I use when I want to board degree something. I run a trial balloon by two people. Number one is Richie, our leader, and the other one is, I can't think of his name. Gentleman, that's the Al Bender, I believe. Not Al. This is embarrassing. I believe it is Al Bender. He's the trustee of the W2VL. If you go look at the W2VL license, you'll see his name on it. And I run it by them. If it's got to do with the repeater, they're the people that usually have the most, or shall we say, the most important say. And based on their trial, in that trial balloon, based on what they say, then I figure out how to address those concerns. So, for example, when I wanted to leave the repeaters on all night, Al was the trustee, had the concern. He had a concern, and his trumps everybody because it's his name on the license. So I addressed his concern, figured out how we could take care of his concerns, and then it was, pretty much a shoe-in, because if he agrees, then everybody else is going to agree because it's his name on it. So that's generally how I do it, is kind of prep ahead of time to find out what they're going to say and then be ready to address what they're going to say.
John, what do you think?
I think the whole thing's a moot point because Dick made the request that the repeater be turned off at 12 sharp because he didn't want to extend it. That's what he said tonight. So, okay, what do you go to the meeting for now? It wasn't their decision.
John, the thing is that he didn't make the request to shut off the repeater. He made a request for the TechNet to end at 12.
Not true. He said repeater to be turned off at 12. He requested that so that the TechNet could not go on because he has commitments. Now, he said that's the way it's going to be for a couple of months. Will it change? I don't know.
John. John, there is an either or. Either you didn't listen carefully, or I didn't listen carefully. With everything that I was able to employ to sharpen my perception, he never said that. And to explain.
His words were, I requested that Eric turn off the repeater, the cold clock. That's what I heard.
Which is, again, not true, because remember that we had a TechNet, and we were told that repeater will be turned off at 12 by Eric.
Okay, well, don't forget the other points that are going on, too. The fact that this 900 megahertz work is being done, whenever that's being done, I don't know. Plus, the trustee to monitor, to have somebody to monitor the repeater, which is a requirement. And even so, Wesley, there's no conversation technical issues other than on the TechNet, on the Limark repeater. That's what it has in the rules. Now, if they change the rules, okay, you can do it. But Richie was very emphatic about that. And that's not going to change, I don't believe.
And that's a valid point, John. I agree with you. They were extending the time. They were giving more chances in exchange for us to not occupy the repeater in the week time, which actually we don't. We completely obey the rules of the repeater right now. But if you say that, yes, technical conversation is not allowed during any hour, at all, that all the conversation that we have had on the TechNet is just a waste of our time, or Bernie's time, or Lou's time, you know, it's just that. You know, they were like, what? 3 o'clock in the morning, you cannot talk technical issues?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was told, that it's for amateur use, general conversation, not discussing equipment operations and that type of thing. So I'm only doing what I'm told by the rules of the membership that we belong to, because if you're a member, you know, you're supposed to follow the rules. I don't agree with it. But when you have people saying they'd rather listen to dead air than people talking about what we talk about, how do you fight that?
Yes, so that thing is supposed to be straightened out. Because definitely my understanding is they did not request the turning off the repeater. They were staying in here till almost 2 o'clock with us. And he really wanted to prolong the conversation. They wouldn't really go against himself, just to scrutinize himself. Now, if we are not allowed to talk at any time, that others are not allowed to talk at any time. Because there should not be a situation in which Wesley is scrutinized for his action and others don't. You know, it has to be a common point. I can accept any rules, but has to be a right of equality. Other than that, it's a discrimination. And this word, it didn't come from me. I've heard that from another gentleman that is in here, which is our friend. And he said it widely before the Monday night session.
Guys, most of this conversation is theoretical because in about 4 days, Mike's going to post the recording of the TechNet and everybody can go listen to it and know exactly what was said.
No. The recording is no longer there. Right?
Whatever the rules are, I can comply with. I have no problem with them. But it has to be applied to everyone. So when other people get on here and talk about anything ad nauseum, that's not allowed. So there I agree with you. If it's applied to everybody, fine.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, right now there should not be a recording, and so that people could not listen to it. But anyhow, the truth is the truth. I'm not violating any rights of the repeater. The words that I said are not my words. They were the words that I heard from the members of the Linemark or the people who were there in that particular event that we have been attending today. This is their words and their thinking. This is their opinion expressed, random 15 people, and to exist.
Wesley, the TechNet's been recorded for the last roughly 10 years. Go to amateurradio.tv, you'll see it there. So there's no surprise that the TechNet is recorded. So those recordings, the gentleman that does it has a family, he's got a job, he's busy. So it'll be up in 4 or 5 days, and then we can figure out exactly what he said. I'm going to go to bed. K2Y is going to be clear. 73-7 was great seeing you today. Have a good day, and I'll talk to you later. John?
73 is Bernie. It was great seeing you today. And maybe we can drag Alan into it also. We'll see what happens when you come over. But, yeah, Wes, is, you know, like I say, as long as it's applied to everybody and there are a few more issues, which, you know, we'll cover them.
Yeah, Bernie, thank you very much. You are a gentleman. Thank you very much for your assistance and your time, and it is really nice from you to having us here with you. Well, John, I came from different country, I came from a different environment, and I did not expect that somebody would scrutinize me for being me, because that's what I feel is happening. If I'm wrong, I would apologize for it, but at least right now, I think that all of the action was made because of Wesley, you know, and all of this comments. I'd rather listen to the empty repeater than listen to you. It was said on this repeater to me. Or Wesley, shut up. It was said on this repeater to me. Or report to the front desk, otherwise you're going to have a problem. It was said to me. It stands about inequality of Wesley to anybody else. We live in a free country, and I request to have equal rights. Other than that, I will not agree. I came to that country for the freedom and liberty, not for the discrimination and to exist.
No, I agree with you there, and I was on the air. I heard that statement said twice, not only to you, I heard it said to another person. Kind of a silly statement. Shows you the mental attitude. And as far as being persecuted or picked out, that doesn't apply when you're a member and must follow rules. So everything you're saying that has to do with rules is a moot point, because even what those people are saying to you and you bringing that case and representing it for them doesn't apply, because they don't understand that it was stopped because of the violation of the rules. So, complex point.
Oh, yeah, definitely it's a complex point. The complex point is that nobody has a right to discriminate me, to treat me as a second category member or second category citizen. That's the violation of the rules of the United States of America and a violation of the rules of this repeater. Everybody is equal, and to exist.
Yeah, but if you're violating the rules and somebody tells you to shut up or get off the repeater or move to another site, that I can understand. But because they don't like your accent, or because you're Polish, or whatever the reason, that's not right. And I don't think that's being done in any depth. But the rules and the regulations, and sometimes they use rules to beat somebody down. Okay, but just beat everybody down who violates the same rule. That's all I'm saying.
No, I understand that. I completely agree. I did obey, or start to understand, because the perception is another factor. It is just a knowledge that is built not only in technical issue, but how to work with the repeater and the rules of the repeater. So I finally got to the point in which I don't believe that I'm violating any rules right now. I was told, based on my best perception, I'm trying to follow the rules. But if the members of the club start to scrutinize me, which is against of the Constitution of the United States, that is a crime. And a crime is the punishment. If on this repeater I'm being discriminated, it's a crime. So if that is going to be repeated, or if they're going to revoke my license, this thing is going to go to court and to exile.
KC2WGV. Well, if you violate the repeater rules, yeah, they could put an infringement on your license in some way. Yes, that's possible. But there was something else I was going to say, and I forgot. It's getting late. There is no other way that they can persecute you, because if you remember, we never talk during drive time. So we pick it up maybe 6 o'clock in that time, and that was no good. 7 o'clock was no good. So then we started 9 o'clock. That was no good. Then we started 10 o'clock. Now, by 10 o'clock, the repeater was mostly dead all the time. So that was no good. So evidently, maybe they were trying to adjust, but it seemed to be, it's okay if you do it late at night, and then all of a sudden, it's not acceptable at all. So that's the rules, and that's what they changed it to now. Okay, that's what we got to do now.
Yeah, that's what I do. Do you hear me during the week time? Only to establish the conversation and then go to another repeater. That's what I do. I completely obey all of the requests based on my perception. But nobody has a right even one time to offend me officially on the repeater, especially if there is a member of the repeater or high rank member of the repeater. Enter experience.
But they do have the right to curb you on a private repeater owned by the club, and the club establishes the rules. You're not out in the public domain, so they can tell you what's right and wrong, what's acceptable on the repeater. It's not an infringement of your rights.
And again, I agree with you. They have the right to do that. And if you have a members of the club or the people with different skills, one person would be able to understand the technical issues, the other will not. But with the time, he tries the best. That should be taken to the account that I'm trying to adjust myself to the best of the community. But not when I'm being sent a letter that actually says nothing more, nothing less, that my license is going to be revoked. Try to do it, you're going to end up in court. Simple like that. And to exist.
Well, I got the same letter, and I was told explicitly, verbally, basically what it said in the letter. I didn't take offense to it because I consider it their rulemaking, and if you want to use the repeater, you got to behave. Not much to ask, but it did get a little squirrely. But when Richie explained it to me, and that final explanation was pretty thorough, I said, okay, as long as it's applied to everyone, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, with the one exception, that you were never offended publicly, ugly way, unlawful way, against the Constitution, on the repeater. I was, and to exam.
KC2WH.
KC2WGV. But you weren't offended by those people who were saying disparaging things were not the members in charge making these decisions. Richie never said anything like that. I can't think of anyone who did, who is an influential member.
Again, I agree with you. The only thing is that there were some members, they had a certain position, and they requested certain things from me, but the way that you verbally articulate that is at best of my perception of pending. So, I came to the point that I understand a policy of the repeater to the point that I believe I do not violate that. All I need is just a peace of mind. But if they decide to take an action, I take their action. Apart from that, it's not going to cost me a penny. And to FGS. Oh, we have a breaking station.
We're breaking station in a second. Well, Richie would know. Oh, I have no doubt in my mind. Richie doesn't want anybody being insulted on the repeater, doing any of the things that I've heard people do to you. But don't forget, I was told to shut up. I was told to move off the repeater. And also, that time, there was five of us involved. I don't remember if you know that. There was five of us involved in a conversation. We were all told to get off. So, you know, what can you do about that? I think it was a breaking station in there. KC2WGB.
KC2BOH. Hey guys, I'm not a member of Blimey or anything like that, but I have a huge exclusive for you guys, man. It's like 200 repeaters in the area, man. Without gas, just jump off onto another one, that's all.
We're already doing that. We've been doing it for months.
Hey man, just sounds like you guys are very pissed off, but don't make much sense. They have their rules, go to another one, have fun, man. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I'm not angry. I'm not pissed off. Doesn't affect me in any way.
As far as me.
I'm here with you. Got KC2BY, so I'm Chief 7-1.
And to Adrian, as far as me, I want to have a good relationship with Richie. I want to have a good relation with the members of the club. I don't insist to violate the rules and regulations. Just leave me alone. Don't threaten me that you're going to lose the license. Because that is something that I've done for past 30-something years. And to Adrian.
Well, Wes, they were only pointing out, it wasn't a threat. They were telling you what they could do if you continued to violate the rules. That's what they were saying.
Well, yes, but at first I have to understand the rules. Yeah, when you go to the school or you are in any organization, there is no significant time that is specified for the member for the learning curve. If you go to any business, you have a certain time that they expect you to learn your skills. But there is no written request saying that if you don't, then you're going to lose your electrical license because the rules has changed. You know what I'm saying? It's just a human behavior versus the human regulation. And to exist.
Well, don't forget, there's a lot of things involved. You have the rules the way they are written, and then you have the spirit of the rules. So if they enforce the rules, and by doing that breaks the spirit of the rule is invalid. So the question is, was the spirit of the rule broken? That's the question.
Right, I mean, I was today.
The time is 2:08.
Today I was very satisfied that I've seen all of the members of the club and the people, and I was able to talk. It was a kind of environment that I really wanted to see. I was very pleased with this event, and, you know, I have nothing against. I don't want the escalation, because escalation creates emotion. don't touch me, I don't bite. Simple like that, because what I have just left, just a seat to be bidden, you know what I'm saying? Who has the right to say, Wesley, shut up? Why is not happening now? Why did it happen 2 years ago? Why nobody is using a strong word right now, other than that is, you know, a certain restriction, and they did use this word before. A small Joe Schmo, hey, shut up. When the Joe Schmo became somehow recognized, well, he's not as stupid as he thinks he is. You know what I'm saying? That might be wrong what I say. That might be simply me not understanding that it wasn't a bad motion, but that it might be that you are placed within the society based on the level of recognition and to exist.
KZ2WGV, absolutely, and you're placed in society by the way you look, by the way you talk, where you come from, how much money you have, what you own. These are all silly things, but that's how most people form an opinion, believe it or not. I know you know it.
Yeah, so it's simple like that. I spoke to my friend, the attorney, and I said, listen, I've got a clear message that I'm may lose the license. He said, don't worry about it. You're not going to lose a penny on it. But I say, should I perform something? He said, no. First, try to work with the people. If it happened that you offended somebody, apologize. This is the way that I should do. Escalation is never good. So, that's fine. I'm ready to do it. If there is anybody that I offend, do I know somebody that I offend? I don't believe so. I spoke today with Bernie, and I spoke today with Lou. I like the guys. You know what I'm saying? I like these guys. I mean, is there anybody today who I offended? No problem. Talk to me, guys. And to Exia.
Well, I know one thing I thought was offensive that you did.
Go ahead, please.
And I told you about it. I wasn't sure what was going on with the TechNet. I don't have a crystal ball either. But Lou got a bad rap. And personally, I think you owe him a big apology.
Well, when I spoke to Lou, I spoke to him over the phone. And I said to him, if there is anything that I did that wasn't right, I do apologize. I think he can say that the same. See, I'm not the person who is seeking the revenge. That is the last thing that I do, if I have to. All I need is just a peace of mind. You know, a little bit of room. I'm not trying to take a lot of time of the repeat. I'm taking none right now. Andrew Exian.
Oh, I agree, and I'm very seldom on the repeater for any length of time. You know, I'll say hello to the people and goodbye. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying Lou is mad or anything else. It's just my feeling. I hate to use the word opinions because, personally, I don't care for opinions. They're not worth anything. Nothing at all, unless you're a professional in your area, and then you have a professional opinion. That's different. Average opinions, they're like eyes. Everybody has them, and they're worth nothing unless they're working.
Well, that guy that I spoke to, pretty much knowledgeable. I said, you know what? You are excused at a certain point. Your ability to express yourself is not as great as a Native American. That means that you have a certain room to move around, because you might not mean what you say. It is just that your lack of a proper way of expression that might be understood by others improperly. But if Native American is humiliating you in front of the crowd, that is really bad. It is up to you to what you want to do with it. So, What I suggest you should do is try to work with the people. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm also learning. I'm not the smartest man in the world. And to exist.
Well, you're a decent guy. You have a decent way about you. Originally, okay, your English was difficult. It's 1,000% improvement. But some people are not going to see that. Some people are upset with just an accent. So, you know, those people, you just got to let them go. But you're right. When someone doesn't have the full command and you're having a conversation with them, if you want to have an intelligent conversation, you have to give them a little more latitude in the judgment of trying to understand them. And if you're really interested, you should want to understand them. So, yeah, you got to cut them slack. I agree with that statement 100%.
That's what I do. The wording that I have related during a technet was not my wording. It was wording that I've heard from the people. And I pointed that it is not my wording. And I was trying to just say that it is not really that it's 2% or 3%. There is a plenty of brain power in New York and area. There is a plenty of brain power in the technet. It is just that these people are not loud. There was nobody on the Humphreys who came to me and he said, you know what, Wesley, I don't like your attitude. Oh, you know what, Wesley, you know what, if you could talk less technically, there was nobody. They were asking me, what am I doing and how is my life and how is everything, and they were pretty much interested with the research that I do. You know, it was extremely friendly. So yes, I should say thank you, Richie, for organizing this nice event. Yes, I'm very, very much pleased with him that he was able to organize it so perfectly. I mean, I was very much satisfied with it. And to exit.
Well, I myself, I feel the same exact way. Yeah, I think he did a great job. And all the guys that, you know, the volunteers that got to set up all that stuff and tear it down and stuff. We just walk in and walk out. You know, so yeah, I think he did an excellent job. No question about it. But, you know, I don't know. There's just some people you're not going to be able to influence. Everybody that I met, and those 10 people that spoke about the TechNet, maybe it was more than 10, they all had great things to say about what was going on and how it was being done. Yeah, some of them were disappointed because it's shortened, because evidently they have the time to listen. But everybody likes what's going on, so I heard nothing bad. And most of them find the conversations interesting.
Yeah, you know, I hope everything will be good. They will try to understand each other, and I will try. I will try the best to, you know, behave the way that they want me to behave. But there is nothing wrong, I believe, with me relating the opinion of others and to exist.
Well, it's nice to pass on nice stories and gentle conversation. Yeah, most people, you know, they want to talk about bad things and, like, be miserable. They see only the evil, they only see the bad, and it gets a lot of attention, and that's the way the news media works in a lot of the nation, actually. So, you're right, it's nice to hear somebody tell you something that's kind and that appreciative of what you do or what you help do. Yeah, I think that's great, and I think that's more important than the nonsense about people who are unhappy.
Yeah, by the way, John, and to HCM, I just point again, when I spoke to Lou, I had no idea that I'm talking to Lou. I just react the way that I react. It was a direct request for me to react. I mean, how many times people have a reaction based on a particular situation, not really judging all of the pros and cons. That's why I called him and I spoke to him. I mean, he's a charming guy. And to
Jay. Well, not only that, he's a straight guy. He doesn't, he tells you what's on his mind. I've always found him to do that. And, he doesn't try to play diplomat or any of that disgusting stuff. He's just, I think, a truthful guy. And when he has nothing to say, he doesn't just talk, which a lot of people do. Usually wind up making mistakes, too.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we find a way, if only the Limark decide that they don't want to escalate the situation, we find a way how to work out with it. Definitely, I am in disagreement of that decision. And as you'll find out, I'm not the guy who is just waiting patiently. No, I'm the guy who is expressing himself. As long as I do it lawfully and I do it according to the rules, nobody should feel offended. This is only me who should feel that I was offended, and I believe it's not going to happen any longer. And to exist.
KC2WGB. Well, you're always going to hear the comments and the ill words from the idiots. They're out there in full force, but I don't think anything else is going to develop out of it. I don't think it'll go any further, and nothing's going to get escalated. Nobody's looking to escalate. But you also have the right to tell anybody your mind, as long as you do it respectfully. As long as you do that, they should have no complaints. If you're talking directly to the person who's involved, not a roundabout way, right to their face, and, you get it over with.
I hope so. If they, that would most of everything made me really disappointed was a message that you may have your license revoked. Oh, guys, if this is going to happen, it's going to be loud. Anywhere that I can. And to exit.
Well, actually, it read that if you don't do it, we'll be suspended from the repeater. Then, if you keep abusing the repeater because it's a private club, then they could tell the FCC. Now the FCC would come in and make a move or send you a letter. So, that was a chain of events that had to happen to get to that point.
No, John, I understand it differently. And again, I can have a person who is a professional who can examine the document. My understanding was that being a member of the club, I could have a license suspended and the ARRL will be notified about that. When you push somebody against the wall, he cannot move anywhere, only forward. No matter what you do to save yourself, you still can bite, because you have no other choice. I believe that it would be out of really unsmart action if they would like to respond with that. Because it would go loud everywhere that it can go, even the media. You know what I'm saying? I feel that I'm right, and it's up to the authorities to find out if I'm wrong and to exit.
KC2WGB. Well, like I said, the letter came to me. I spoke to Richie about it a couple of times, and it was suspend repeater privileges. Richie, we can tell you, you cannot come on the repeater for 90 days. And if you violate that, because the club has the right to do that, then they would notify the ARRL, and then your license could be suspended by the FCC. Could be. Not that it would be, because you need several violations, number one. They're not going to do that, but they would make